What banana?
Okay, calling the July 1st, 2026 meeting of the Raptor JISD to order. Showing Janice Smith and Brian Schilling present. Eileen Mossman is not here. First item of business is to approve the minutes from 6/11/2026. Here for me, but so we might have to postpone approval of these until Eileen and you are both here
Okay.
so that we have to be voting.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it's not high critical. But I did read through all the minutes. I didn't notice anything wrong because I wasn't here.
Yeah. You
So,
know, we covered a lot that meeting was on one. Okay.
okay. Moving on. Any changes to the agenda?
I have one addition and then one just little shout out.
Yeah.
One addition is to add discussion of the quote
Yeah.
we received from 8 to replace corroded guide rail adapters on lift station 3. Do you want to put that?
How about under action items C?
Okay. Okay, and then just a little shout out. I can just mention it now. Lisa posted the annual water quality report that is due every July 1st for our water system, and it is on the website for the public to look at. So it's just is a yearly annual water quality report that we put out in accordance with EPA regulations.
Actually, I do have one item to add. It kind of might not be an ISD item, but it's something we should maybe be aware of. The location of the fence at the as you approach the storage area. It's so that's probably more of an ISD item, but it's something that again, we should just do. I'll have that under discussion items. Okay, public comment. Does he have anyone online?
Nope.
Nope. Perfect. That's cute.
Mm-hmm.
there's a mild incentive to get this meeting over done with. Thanks. World Cup on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. This is going to be the fastest meeting.
Ms. Brzezinski, do you have any comment?
I'm just interested in your budget.
Okay.
Oh, so I'm listening.
Yep.
Sorry.
All right. FY26-27 budget is the next item on the discussion act list. And this is where we're probably going to reveal the deficiencies in certainly my understanding of the budget and
I know Eileen does such a great job of
yeah.
explaining it and percent changes and all of that.
And yeah, and she knows what
Yeah,
she has put into the
she's
budget, so she knows where to look,
yep.
whereas I'm we're sort of flying like that looks great.
I know. And we did do a work session, which was
Right.
good, and we reviewed kind of the final budget draft during the work session, so that's good.
Yeah,
You want?
I mean, essentially what I was gonna highlight is that we've done all the budget work to get to this point, and based on our last work session between the June 11th meeting and today, we finalized the proposed budget for 26-27. And so I think our main item today is really just to approve it, which we will do under consideration or under action items. But I don't know if we, some of the highlights or items to note are that we added more money this year for snow plowing because we've gone to contracted snow plowing. That costs a lot more than having it done in-house. We have added money for, this is where it's much easier. I think we have increases for some water system maintenance items. Not a ton, actually. I mean, not, in terms of dollar amount, it's not a lot. Yeah, I think that the big one is the increase in total road maintenance, and half of that is road maintenance, repair, patching. So, no, should we plan out? So, well, we didn't increase the amount for plowing very much because we had budgeted 50 last year, so we budgeted 75 for this year.
Mm-hmm.
The significant increase is in just overall road maintenance, and that's primarily because we didn't spend much in last year's budget. So we're proposing $55,000 in this year's budget, the upcoming year's budget. Just reflects that we didn't spend a whole lot last year.
And I think she had factored in some maintenance this year for like corner aprons,
yep.
South entry road repair, factored in some money for tree trimming and general, a general fund for that as well.
Okay.
And we had consulted with Kurt Stout last year, right? And he assess the quality of the roads and the bird down a little further.
Yeah, that's resurfacing and larger repair. We're fine on the condition of our roads. So. And then take a quick look at one thing that's gone up quite a bit in the last few years, too, is our sewer and water operator costs.
Yes.
We're contracting out a lot of that as well. And then we do have capital expenditures. That's just, we've got some generator and lift station work on schedule for next year. Culvert repair and replacement instead scheduled, and then some other equipment replacement. Plow and sander, skid steer, fine blade sweeper. We did budget for 3 speed tables.
You know, I don't remember what the number was, how many we were planning on.
It's, well, we have it in there, it's for 45,000.
They left for 15 each. Okay.
So that, I mean, if we're looking at a permanent installation, each.
And we may not have received the full invoices yet for the water line repair,
right.
But we budgeted 50,000 to try to
throw a dart at
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'd say with a more involved water operator, we thankfully identified some things that we needed to pay attention to. So we're doing. That's where some of these costs have come from in the last fiscal year.
Right.
And so now, moving forward, I mean, we've done a lot, but I think there are a few things here and there that will come up still. And then we need to figure out a replacement plan to have kind of more of a schedule for maintenance.
We are playing a little bit of catch-up, though. So
yeah.
Things that we were just blissfully unaware of, because we have the water operator, you're now aware of them and replace them. Do you want to look at this, Kathy? And yeah, you can let us know if you have any questions about it, or you can always come back to that if we move on to something else.
And in order to help phase in some of these increases in cost that are going to be reflected in the water rates, mm-hmm. we've chosen to phase them in over 3 years. To also still maintain the amount of reserves that we want to.
Yep.
So from what is listed here, our first year will be $4.80 per 1,000 gallons. Mm-hmm. Currently it's at $2.60 per 1,000 gallons. So it's a jump, but then we're phasing it in over 3 years and we will continue that trend. And it might be that Eileen had calculated
something differently.
Yeah.
We talked about going to $5.70 per 1,000 gallons.
Mm-hmm. And she currently has it listed at $5.36
yeah.
in the third year. So that can be adjusted if
yeah.
we need to. But this budget
that's
can be
working document.
Considered. Yeah.
This looks to be. Well, that's nice. It's all on one page there.
Yeah.
That's all on it. Okay. Just looking at our just as simple as
I don't think I've seen that.
But we have pretty substantial. Increasing the overall budget this year between the additional sort of, service oriented costs and the additional capital costs for all of our infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good that we've been staying on top of this.
Yeah.
In terms of assessments and so we have a reserve. That's the good part.
Yes.
We just have to make sure that that reserve doesn't get drawn down
mm-hmm.
to the point where when we have to do those major repairs that were
right.
Okay. Any other questions on the budget or thoughts?
I don't have any. I think we've been really thorough this year, especially with a lot of details. And I think that there's a good handle on the numbers and the budget, and that we've done a due diligence on it. And Eileen has worked her mastery with it. And yeah, I'm okay with it.
Okay. Look forward to approving that. Okay, next item is engineering preliminary quotes.
And that was just if you had received anything back from any engineers at this point. So if that's still pending, we can move that to the next meeting.
Okay. Next item is cybersecurity assessment on the SCADA system and office computers update.
I just a little update on that. I've just been going back and forth on understanding kind of what we need to do and what services we can receive from EPA. I've mainly been working with EPA. There are other organizations that also assist with like an assessment, but it's just kind of a work in progress, and I've sent questions that they requested me to find the answers to CST, which is the SCADA system contract company, and they sent me back info. I've sent it back to EPA, and now the next step is I submitted a request for an assessment. So now we'll get that scheduled.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably need to get an IT person in the loop on that. And I know we've talked about that before, and Eileen says she has someone. So when she gets back, we can hopefully have that person involved in the meetings to understand that language, because it's all beyond my scope.
Okay.
And then I think when it's appropriate, then Tanner wanted to be involved, and so did Eileen. It's all coming along, takes a little time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Next item is the RFP for the snow removal contract. And we had talked about not actually releasing an RFP this year, but just renewing some earthworks. Extending their contract kind of as a, that was one of the things we talked about previously, was doing these not as a single year contract every year, but maybe like a 2 year contract or even a 5 year contract. And we're both comfortable extending this for one more year. Last year being a non-winter in a lot of ways. We didn't really have a chance to fully assess Hanson's performance, but the days that we did snow was fine. And so we'd like to do one more year of this, and then we can discuss after we've had another year of just experience with Hanson, we can then look at, do we want to continue in that route, or do we want to do an RFP.
Right. And I know, just to go back to the minutes from, and the discussion reflected in the minutes from the last meeting, Eileen felt more comfortable wanting to send out an RFP this year. And she was, we were kind of on that track at the time of the last meeting. But as I continued to think about it, I feel like we should try to give a normal year to the person we've contracted with already. And just like you said, give them a chance to have a full season under their belt, so we can further assess if we want to move forward with a renewal again, or some longer contract, or if we want to send out an RFP.
Yeah.
I think Eileen's questions were, or concerns were, that other, because we were so late in getting an RFP out last year, other companies may not have had a chance or an opportunity because they've already set their schedule. So that, I think, is where she was coming from. But I think we could certainly do that next year if we felt like we needed to. But I think it would be good to just do a renewal this year.
And I'm comfortable with that. It's not that hard. It's RFPs, and it's already written.
Exactly. So it's ready to go.
Yeah,
so
ready to go.
The work is done on that. The only thing that we would need to reach out to Hanson Earthworks about is putting in that option that we had discussed. It was like adding in Kingiter snow removal, or with or without.
Right.
And the language around that, I don't know how we do that with a renewal addendum, or
it's happening. And it would be a pretty simple thing to add if we asked him for a quote on it, basically. But if we were going to do an RFP, we would want to have that as a bid alternate.
Oh, that's what it's called, bid alternate. But for this, we'll just ask him to do a quote?
Yeah.
Okay.
If we decide we want to go back. Because we should probably, we have it under G.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do we want to add this to our action items that we're just going to authorize extending that contract?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll add that. Okay. Moving on to item F is emergency communication protocol and education offer from Rich Oak's office.
Yeah, that was just, I had sent an email to you and Eileen, just communication from Rich Oaks, the Teton County Emergency Management Office. He just offered up some services from his department on if we wanted to educate the public in Rafter J about how to sign up for Everbridge and make sure that they're on the list and why perhaps some people didn't get a notice when they felt like they signed up and all of that. So offering to troubleshoot a bit with individuals if they needed it. So it kind of be like a seminar workshop offering. And I was curious if we wanted to extend this like hosting opportunity to the HOA also, mm-hmm. and just kind of do a joint event. I don't know if perhaps the church would allow us to, you know, let people come and have Rich talk or someone from his office talk, and they could just go through their education component, thinking that it might be helpful and forward thinking to at least expose the Rafter J residents to emergency responses and services and what to look for and when they're applicable, like when Everbridge is applicable versus just in-house notifications, like for smaller emergencies, but the larger emergencies, like perhaps a fire in the open space, you know, something like that, that might involve the HOA if we wanted to just do kind of a joint offering and let Rich come in and talk about his skill set.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense to combine it with the annual meeting, or that might be too much in one night.
Right. Yeah. I was wondering about that, but I was going to let the HOA figure out if that might be too much. But it is a nice time where everyone's already gathered, and you do get a decent turnout for the HOA annual meetings.
I don't know that we would, probably won't get a ton of attendance at an emergency notifications meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Rich's meetings are a lot of fun.
Are they?
But, I haven't. if we didn't do it with the annual meeting, I would say we should do it like an off-season, rainy November day kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where no one has anything else going on.
Right. Not midsummer.
Yes.
It's so hard to get people.
Yeah.
I know. I know. So that's something I can just pass on to the HOA board and have you all discuss it. I'll send the information that Rich had sent.
Okay.
And he also has a flyer that we could just email out to people too, but perhaps do that after we have the little event or something like that as a follow-up. But anyway, just a thought. And it'd be just proactive on our board part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. Our goal is to make communication to the residents as easy as possible, and that will reduce the number of phone calls, individual follow-up phone calls and emails we get in an emergency situation, and it just helps everyone be involved.
Yeah.
So.
Great. I'll send that info to the HOA.
King Rider Task Force Snow Removal Discussion. Background on this is we have a request from King Rider to consider adding their road maintenance, routine road maintenance plowing to the Rafter J larger plowing services. We asked Paul DeMores to look into that and look at the plat and kind of pass policies about how, you know, why don't we plow it for all the other internal subdivision roads. And Paul looked back at what he had prepared for his Walden Ponds. And the situation is very comparable to King Eider. And he said, his advice was that if we were to you know, in the past it was we declined to incorporate those other internal subdivision roads into our plowing operations, even when we were doing it in-house. And he said, if we did decide to go forward with that with King Eider right now, we would very likely that we would expect to get that same request from Old Ponds and all the other, you know, it would just sort of be a domino effect, and then we'd be taking care of everyone's. So that's a consideration. And rereading his letter, one thing that was interesting that I noticed, let's see if I can explain this without having the letter in front of me, but there's the routine maintenance, like the snow plowing, and then there's the capital, larger capital maintenance and replacement costs. And we cannot use funds that have been assessed to the internal sub HOAs for road maintenance and repair, like those larger costs on the local roads.
Okay.
That are, you know, so because we're not offering that same opportunity for those sub HOAs, even though they're paying less, the only deduction we've made in their rate is related to plowing costs. I don't know how that, I don't know how they handled that the last time we did a major maintenance project. It did come up though when we were, you know, in the early 2000s when we replaced the water and sewer.
Mm-hmm.
In Paul's letter, he points out to Walden Pond that they were not charged for maintenance of the local roads. They were charged for maintenance of 10 sleeping big trails because everyone was charged for that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how that accounting was done. Mm-hmm. I haven't looked into that. But it's just something to keep in mind in the future is that when we do a road replacement project, if it includes the local roads, we can't, per I think state statute, we wouldn't be able to use funds from Walden Pond with sub HOAs for the local roads long-term maintenance. It's just, I wasn't aware of that
mm-hmm.
until I reread that letter, which is from a long time ago, but it's definitely something to think about.
So. Right. So if I'm understanding correctly, if we were to entertain this idea of road maintenance and capital improvements mm-hmm. on sub HOA roads,
yeah.
It would essentially be that we would just be kind of, we would have to have separate pockets of money just specific for those.
Don't know how exactly how it would work from an accounting standpoint.
Yeah.
But I do know that all we've done, and the only difference in their rate, assessment rate, and the single family, you know,
mm-hmm.
regular assessment rate is that it accounts for the difference in plumbing that they've estimated as. I forget what it is now, but it was $120 a year or something like that.
Okay.
Maybe more now. But that, and it would probably behoove us to have Paul
mm-hmm.
clarify this just to make sure I didn't totally misinterpret
right.
what I read in the letter. But it was an interesting point that I
yeah.
had never been aware of.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's really important to look at how those funds can be used
mm-hmm.
Before we make any decision and get an understanding in my head of what
right.
what that means.
Could impact our, you know, long-term replacement costs for these roads, because what we have in the fund right now, we might not be able to use all of that for local road maintenance. And I don't know how we, you know, at this point, I'm not exactly sure how we would parse that out or pay for it. So,
okay. Definitely. it's not a straightforward request by any means.
I will say my inclination is to continue to keep them separate just because of that door opening effect, and then also we're taking care of everything, and I just know from all of my experience, when you start having, and it's like the water agreements is a good example, when you start having like little custom arrangements with everyone and 8 different sub-HOAs, it gets cumbersome.
Right.
And we just, I don't want to put that burden on us or Lisa or the plow operator.
Panic attack.
Everyone do their own thing. No.
Well, then pretty soon people will be asking you to do their tribals.
They can open
I mean, that's an easy no, but like it's that's not, that's sort of that, you know, logical extension.
Like I can understand the reason why they come and ask, because it has to be so expensive to try to do your own maintenance on a continuation of a road that connects into a larger subdivision. Just the economies of scale, I totally get, but the nuances of all the legalities, and
maybe this is where all the sub-HOAs could
form
a collective.
I was actually thinking of that.
Yeah.
And then it's possible if they did that and created some sort of like their own service district, they could get state and federal funding. Because right now they probably are only eligible for federal funding if they're considered an HOA.
Don't
want
to do that.
It's
such a pain to go through that process.
Right.
Yeah.
But that might be an idea to even throw that question to Paul and see if that's even plausible.
Yeah. They have to be connected. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I've never thought about that really, but.
Yeah.
You could certainly, from a plowing perspective, hire one plow service provider to take care of all of them.
Yeah.
And maybe it's even chained.
Right.
That would seem to me to make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that was one of the questions. Yeah. And the other thing was also just discuss it with Kurt Stout, but we may not even be at that point, and it may not be a consideration. But I kind of like the idea of having all the sub-HOAs create some sort of a organization that could potentially share costs or something. I don't know. You'd think there'd be a tool that would allow that to happen. Some instrument, some legal document that would allow it to happen.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost kind of like, in a way, the wild worn, like it's mutual aid. It's more of a collective kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Item H is e-modems and pathways. Pulling from the description of your signage diagram for education residents. The question is, it came up at the HOA meeting, are e-modems allowed on pathways? And the answer is a hard no. E-motos are, if they're driven by someone under 16, not allowed anywhere except on private property or dirt forest service trails. Because they, to be ridden on the road, they would have to be licensed. You'd have to have a driver's license and your registration. So e-motos are different from e-bikes.
Mm-hmm.
They're the things that look like motorcycles, but they have an electric engine. Electric motor, they're not an e-bike. So they are classified as motor-driven cycles or mopeds in the state of Wyoming. And mopeds actually don't require a driver's license, but they're not mopeds, they're motor-driven cycles. My personal thought, based on experience I had with the people who have e-motos, is that signage and diagrams ain't gonna do a thing. They would help people who don't know anything about e-motos know that they're not legal, but they are not going to cut down on any sort of operation, right? The kids who are riding e-motos on the pathways are going to keep riding e-motos on the pathways. A sign ain't going to do anything.
How do we enforce
anything in Rapid J is the hard part. And I don't know the answer to that, unfortunately.
I think, too, like a question around that is, would any sort of just using, you know, like the blast email and just saying,
I think
then that would get to the adults.
Yeah, I think that would certainly be helpful, is just send out the information that, you know, here's what is legal on pathways, here's what's not legal on pathways. I have something I can provide right now. It doesn't focus as much on e-motos, but we can add that in. Basically, I described this to the HOA, if it doesn't have pedals that you can actually use to pedal the bicycle, it's not an e-bike, it's an e-moto. That's one thing that's visibly, you can just look at it and say yes or no. Beyond that, it's impossible to tell what's an e-moto or what's a legal e-bike, because it gets into things like, how many watts does the motor provide? And you can't tell just by looking at it. Is it a type 1, 2, or 3? You can't tell just by looking at it.
Wow.
So it quickly gets, and then there's the whole problem of a bike that might have been started out as a 1, 2, or 3, and the differences there are how fast it can go with assistance or with the throttle. Type 2 is supposed to be capped. It can have a throttle, but it's supposed to be capped at 20 miles an hour under throttle power only. Mm-hmm. So you can pedal it faster than that, but if you're just using the throttle, it can't go faster than 20. It's the easiest thing in the world for a fifth grader to go in and change the settings on his bike or her bike to then allow the throttle to go up to 25 or 30 miles an hour. So all of a sudden, it's gone from a legal e-bike to an e-moto. But it's the same bike. It's just operating differently. So again, it's really, it's next to impossible to like just look at something and say legal or not legal.
Right. I've never even heard of an e-moto until that question came up.
And they're all marketed, because I've gone to the websites and looked. All these things, the Surons, the Tellarias, forget the other names, but they look like motorcycles. They are motorcycles, but they are like e-bike on their websites. Oh, and so this is where parents are like,
I bought really an e-bike. I didn't know it could go 65 miles an hour.
And you're like, oh my God. I've literally had that conversation with people. You're like,
I had no idea it could go 45 miles an hour.
Why are kids just not riding bicycles?
And you're like, why did you spend $4,500 on a motorcycle? Did you know?
I never know.
it's mind-bogglingly. Anyway, the kids know damn well. The parents might legitimately be closed. The kids 100% out.
Oh my gosh.
The middle school is going to implement a mandatory licensing program next year where you cannot park your bike at school unless it's been registered at the school.
Wow.
Which is great.
Any bike?
Any bike.
Oh, good.
Thinking. But definitely anything that has a motor on it.
Huh. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That will help.
That will help.
It's not going to solve all the problems, because you can still ride your e-moto and rally it around down here. I don't know the solution other than, we can look into whether if you can identify the kid or the person that is riding an e-moto on a pathway and get a picture of them, and we've done this in the county where people have sent in photos, we sent them to the sheriff's office, and like, these kids are riding clearly motorcycles on the pathway. they've contacted the parents, so I could have, we could go that route. As far as, but a lot of parents will be like, yeah, okay. Seriously, that's what we hear. Could you then, do we then, like, what mechanism do we have as an organization, after JISD or the HOA, to, like, not just ask nicely, like, is there, do you shut off their water? Probably can't do that. Do you put a lien on their house? I don't know. Like, what are the legal paths you have to, like, encourage compliance? I mean, what do we do with HOA rules? Are there fines that we have for an HOA violation?
We have fines leading all the way up to the house.
But and if they don't pay the fine, then you
put
the lien on the house. Yeah. So I would say that's, like,
I don't know.
Ultimately, if you got to get somebody's attention, that's how you do it.
Yeah. Sometimes we have to get that incorporated into, you know, our rules to change the CCNRs.
We might, this is the one thing where you might get 60% of people responding.
Maybe we should go for that one.
Oh, man.
Is there any way to, like, also change this? Just a random question, but to change the CCR so that in order to change the CCRs, you don't need 60% of everyone, because we don't get 60% response on anything, right? So maybe it's just, it's a simple, like, of the people that vote, it takes
60% CCRs to do that.
I know.
We're so frustrated.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, it's really a high bar.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Well, we could put a lien on someone's house if they don't vote for it, or just don't vote, right?
Oh, we gotta have a way to get people to get involved. It's so frustrating.
Oh, yeah. Well, to start, I guess maybe if you want to send me that document, and then we could add some email info, and then Lisa, maybe you can just put it out on blast email.
You're right that maybe that would get people voting. No, we'll get a whole bunch of them on the same time.
It still wouldn't.
Oh, man.
Sorry, my wife just, I was going to write this down, and I saw a text from my wife that Andy got a deep fryer for his birthday yesterday. But it blew all the fuses in the house, and they can't get the house turned back on, so the game is not recording.
Oh, no.
It's a complete tragedy now.
This is a day.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm going to email the e-bike diagram to... She just got it fired up with an extension cord. So
a deep fryer blows out everything.
Stupid deep fryer.
Only the TV can
only,
be on right now.
Only a 14-year-old in this deep fryer can cause this much chaos. Hopefully the cat's okay.
Oh gosh. All right.
But yeah, I think, you know, an email to residents, just letting them know what is legal and what's not legal, that can't hurt.
Okay. You do that.
We can empower our neighbors to yell at teenage kids.
Yeah. Take pictures.
Messaging to residents, do not block hydrants and hold sex.
I don't know, the hydrants are our responsibility, the cul-de-sacs are HOA. It could be on the HOA thing too, but is it already on there? The messaging not to block? Because that was a, okay, so that's already put out to the homeowner.
That's been put out, right?
Okay.
So I'm pretty
sure
that's
so.
Okay. And we can move in for.
That's one of those things.
Mix that.
No matter whose infrastructure it is, it's fine. I think we can all message.
Yeah, we could send it out from us too, for sure.
Well, that'd be just a good reinforcement.
Okay.
Does anyone pay attention to what the ISD sends out?
Well, I don't feel bad.
Yeah.
I don't pay much attention to what we said now.
It's just the ISD. That's all boring stuff. Like, that's kind of how I feel.
They just, people are busy.
Or the HOA. That'll be spicy. I better read that.
Okay, so we'll just.
So, yeah, Lisa, is that something you would
absolutely
be happy to send?
Yeah, for sure. Will you put some wording together?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Don't block the hydrants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's, I don't know officially like what our position is, but
it's illegal
to park in the cul-de-sac, right? If you've got a guest over and they want to park around the circle, like we've never gotten too uptight over that. It's just like we had an issue on our street where new neighbors moved in. It was a rental, and they had like three vehicles in the cul-de-sac, and I was like, no. And it was like overnight or for, you know, multiple days. And like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you're having a barbecue and you've got,
yeah,
some friends over.
Yeah, that's different. I mean, technically they say you can't park on the streets, period.
Yeah.
But of course, you know, I guess so, realistically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to happen a little bit. Just don't
yeah.
use it.
Just right. Don't leave them overnight.
Yeah.
Right.
So I can prepare a diagram, but this again is more of an HOA question. The Adams Canyon site parcel, we have a Raptor J storage, HOA owns that parcel, HOA owns this big parcel, HOA owns the water tank. This is the county road. This, and this is actually not even a parcel, this is an easement. So the border on this road here, this is all one big parcel for Teton County. And these are sub parcels. But
okay.
This road is just part of that bigger parcel, and there's an easement on it that allows Raptor J to have access up to the storage site. Our property starts here. There's a gate that says private property, no trespassing down here.
Right.
I don't think that gate's in the right spot. I think that gate, and it's weird, it's not a very long gate. It's like one fence panel, and then the gate. That gate, legally, we don't have the right to put that. It's been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it got there. But it's the kind of thing where the county might not even really like it, put this together.
Yeah.
But it came up in our conversation with the HOA last week when they were looking at the proposal here. And Tracy was like, well, our fence is right there and you can't park me on that fence. I was like, we don't own this marsh in there.
Right.
We don't have the authority to restrict people from going up there.
Right.
I think the obvious reason is we don't want people coming up here and then driving up to the water tank.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the right to put a gate here and a gate here.
And this little thing is so interesting because that's
right.
County.
That's county. So we're going to get the county to give us an easement that,
right,
you know, just allows us to drive up to the end of this road and then drive to our parcel over there. Because right now we're technically, if we, you know, have a service vehicle come up here, or Randy goes up there, he's trespassing on that little piece there. The county is never going to say you can't access your water tanks.
Mm-hmm.
We do have a legal right to be able to get to that parcel, but it'll just make it better for the county and for Raptor J if there's actually an incident.
Okay.
Interesting sign. Location of the signs.
And change the location. Yeah, the gate.
Yeah.
That might be part of the whole deal.
Okay.
So I'll put together a little diagram for the HOA.
Okay.
So there's a lawyer, but I thought that
is. Yeah, that is. Did you just recognize that when you started looking because of that proposal?
Yeah, and what Tracy said about the gates right there, they can't park on that road. And I was looking at the GIS in my office during that meeting. I was like, but that was the county parcel is inclusive of like that upper, you know, above that little gully.
Yeah.
And Tracy was like, no, it's not. And I'm like, don't want to argue about it here, but let me look into this.
Yeah.
So, and then when I went for a run up there, right after that meeting, and I was like, look at that. gate's in the wrong place.
So interesting. Okay.
One more thing I wanted to talk about under discussion items is traffic counts. I'm going to set up the traffic data collectors at Stage Stop.
Okay.
I'll contact them to let them know we're going to do that. But I think it's time to do another count because they've had a change in use and they have a lot more residents there. So their numbers are going to be much different than they were 2 or 3 summers ago whenever we last did it.
Yeah. Okay.
And that will affect their assessments for each property. We need to order new tubing. So this is going to be that.
Okay.
All right. Maintenance report.
Randy couldn't make it. No, but he did. These three things on here, you said he'd still work getting quotes on both of those.
Okay.
He said he's really been able to investigate the culverts we need mowing because he's going slow and he's like looking around, and so he's learning a lot, he said, about, you know, even what's going on, I guess, is what he was saying. And then he just kind of wanted to clarify the storage quote update.
Okay.
Was that what for like?
That was for the types and... Yep. Okay. Yeah, he was mentioning at the last meeting
storage of the pipes.
Yeah, like all the extra backup material that they were wanting to keep on site. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Okay. Clearwater operations report.
You want me to speak to that?
Sure.
Item A, the American Branch Sewer Infiltration Project status. Clean Pipe went out and started the project. There was a clamp or something that broke mid operations, so they had to stop and get a new one, and they're going to come back and finish that after the week after the 4th of July.
Okay.
The bollards in front of...
Okay.
item 3B, the bollards in front of the wells project status, that was just wrapped up the last couple days. So it was done before the new fiscal year, which starts today. So that project is done.
Okay.
And it's also, I think, in front of, I think Emily said, a fire hydrant that's near the wells and a hydrant that's near the pump house. And then she sent the monthly report, which we have. They were very busy in the month of June.
Started off with a bang.
Yeah. And it looks like there's still a bit of just sorting the wiggles out with the SCADA system. And I think that's getting smoothed out now.
Sure. I remember that one. Manholes near load station 2 were full.
Yeah.
They got mixes out here.
That was like a day or two after the water leak.
Yeah.
Yep. And then they had replaced the pumps in lift station 3, I believe. And then they realized no, that's going into the nest.
Yeah.
Next quote, never mind. Yeah, I think they've got some like battery operated components of the SCADA system on some of those stations that aren't communicating, so they're working through those. And I think they've got things ironed out now, at least.
Anything else?
Yes.
Okay, then water well.
Yeah. Water well assessment, item 3D, just a kind of a non-invasive assessment of the water wells and their integrity. Teton Waterworks did a quote of about $600 in total to test the wells. And I don't have a lot more detail on that, on what information that gives us, but it, from when we first spoke about it, it was seeming like a worthwhile annual assessment on the wells without having to pull the pumps, because once you start pulling them, then they're like, well, you might as well replace it if you're getting into the wells. So,
interesting.
So yeah, you don't want to get in there too often and stuff unless you really have to. But there was a recommendation that we set up a replacement plan for the new pumps, to replace them about every 10 to 15 years just to keep things running smoothly. So so that's a nominal cost just to get that assessment done, $600 in total. And that was based on the information that we had given Clearwater, looking through records.
Okay.
We were told, though, that the test, the $600 assessment, does not guarantee that there will not be a problem. Like they said, like an impeller can seize at any time. And then he recommended to replace every 10 to 15 years. And I guess Wellcom B failed last week. And there was a troubleshooting that was done through an electrician. The electrician recommended that the pump and motor be pulled. Teton Waterworks, which is who did the $600 quote, they did come out and look at it, and there were some melted wire connections at the wellhead, and Teton Waterworks was able to repair those without pulling the pump and motor. So that's good.
Good.
Yeah, Clearwater was also open to turning 811 locates over to Randy, and we had talked about that at the last meeting. So Randy was present for that.
You have so,
I know. I think he seemed okay with it. You were there, Lisa, right? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it had been decided.
Yeah, he didn't seem opposed to it, and okay. It was just like if Clearwater wants to kind of get him up to speed.
Right.
And then I can help a bit also on how to respond to those online for the response that goes back to One Call Wyoming with Randy if he needs it. So, and then Clearwater was more than willing to be available for any complicated locates or emergent locates. So they can work together on those, but they agreed that putting that cost in-house would be beneficial for the ISD.
Right.
And take something off their plate.
Yeah.
Think
probably right here. Yeah,
exactly. Every time. Yep. So that's pretty much it from
Clearwater. Okay. Cool. Thank you. Mm-hmm. On the action items, consideration of the fiscal year 26-27 budget. Barring any additional discussion or changes, get a motion to adopt the FY 26-27 budget as presented.
So moved.
I will second that motion. Is there any public comment?
It's all good.
Is there any further board discussion on the motion? Okay, all in favor of the motion, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, FY 26-27 budget passes unanimously. Thank you, Eileen.
Yeah, thank you, Eileen. She is so wonderful.
Yeah. You know, there's something that went along. Some miscommunication with our budget.
Because it was a truck, like the truck thing?
Well, the truck thing was, that was my year. It was
something else.
It was cost sharing. And I think it got resolved, but I just got back. So I think Tracy took care of it.
Okay. And Eileen will be back, I think, after the 10th, if you needed to connect with her.
I think it probably all got done, but I am so out of the loop after a month.
Oh, I bet.
Probably feels nice.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so wonderful. I could move to the Czech Republic.
Oh, nice.
I think I'm trying to get citizenship. I think I can. So.
Next item is BioWar mutual aid signing. Are we just signing the agreement?
Yeah. Didn't we sign that? Then we couldn't find the documents. Okay. We thought we just signed it again.
Yeah.
And now we have all of our questions answered anyway. So.
I know we approved it.
Yeah, we did.
We don't have to approve it. I just have to sign it.
Yes.
So
okay.
Sign it.
Yep. So I have a copy, Lisa.
Okay. Well, I thought we were looking for something.
We were, and I don't know where.
Okay.
If we have a signed copy.
I have that.
Okay.
They agreed, but I couldn't find a signed one.
Me neither.
Okay.
So
maybe it was just that it was approved and hadn't been signed yet.
It could be. Yeah. It could. I know we just.
Because we were pending the insurance stuff. And
yep.
So maybe we were just approved.
Yeah. That's
me.
I guess. Could be where we were.
So wastewater is the Raptor J. Usually, we don't have chairs signing things. At the county, like when they've got to sign like 35 different things, they're not like watching the guys sign.
Oh.
I screwed this up. Yeah, we're going to have to, we'll take care of that later in a second, but I printed where I was supposed to sign, so anyway.
Okay.
That's why you also don't talk when you're signing these things. Item C, consideration of the guardrail adapters for lift station number 3. We received a quote from Deep Water Services to replace the flange guide rail adapters. We saw a picture of the really chewed up, corroded adapters that are currently on the pump.
Totally fine with it. It goes along with making the rest of that piece of equipment work properly, so
yeah.
We should get new uncorroded parts in there.
What we should do though is that the subtotal was for $3,865 and then tax was $257.60. We're tax exempt, so we should actually get them to resubmit. Yeah, either resubmit the quote or remove that, then remove the tax.
Okay.
So we would be, I think we can approve, we can authorize approving a quote or approving an expenditure of $3,865 for replacing the lift station pump flanged guide rail adapter.
Is that a
that's sort of a motion? Yeah.
Okay. So moved.
Second that. There's no public comment. Kevin? And then we'll request a revised quote that does not have.
Okay.
Lisa, is
got
that
it.
Something you can
yes.
track down?
Yeah.
Okay. And then if you want to email it to me, I can print it, sign it, and email it back to you.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Sign it. Cool.
Yeah. Good catch.
Last item would be the snow removal contracts. Since we don't have that in front of us right now, I don't think we can prove anything.
As it was.
Yeah.
So I have the. Yeah, I don't have one that would be for that this fiscal year or season.
Okay. So we conceptually decided we're going to move forward with the re-option, just extending the contract, but we don't.
Okay. If we haven't officially approved it yet, what's our, what are we allowed to do communication-wise with Hanson or Forks? Yeah,
we can tell them that what we should do is vote to extend the contract, and then we will approve the contract once we get the actual contract. But the policy decision is that we're going to extend this contract for winter 2026-2027.
Okay.
So I would move to extend the snow removal contract with Hanson Earthworks for 2026-2027.
So moved.
Second. And just to clarify, that means we're going to basically get updated rates from Shane. If there's a change for this year, and we'll incorporate that rate sheet into the new contract. And then once we have all those documents put together, we'll approve.
So the contract he signed that was approved from last year, we need a new contract.
We'll need to get his updated rate sheet and put a new number, not to exceed amount in that contract.
Okay. So it needs to be revised.
Yep. And maybe ideally his rate sheet stays the same and we pay the same rates we did last year.
Mm-hmm. And when we were discussing that in the last meeting, Aileen was recommending we get a quote from him also on.
I feel I'm a little nervous about getting a quote for somebody else's property.
Yeah.
I think King Edgar could get a quote from Shane.
Okay. I think that might have been right. Because it would be, even if something moved forward with a sub-HOA, it would be a separate contract with the same, potentially with the same snow removal contractor, right? Like it would be their own separate agreement.
Yeah.
Because ISD wouldn't oversee that type of agreement, right?
It's probably not a big deal for Shane to say, that'll take me 20 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. And so it'll, it'll be $200, but I don't know what.
Yeah. Isn't that how it typically works though? Some HOAs hire their own contractor anyway.
Yeah.
So they
can hire Shane.
So
okay. I guess I'm okay with asking him to give us an estimate for what it would cost, for conversation purposes, we're not adding that to the contract. We don't have the ability to do that right now. We don't have an agreement with King Edgar. Which direction I'm leading towards that. But for conversation purposes, we can get our number.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to other business, hydrant flow rates. We talked about quotes. We had talked about having Nelson provide hydrogen flow analysis. They quoted for everything. The whole subdivision would be $25,000, but they offered to do a reduced plan for $1,200 mobilization fee and then $600 per hydrant.
Yeah,
$500 or $600.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And so we decided that that made more sense. Let's get a sampling of the existing hydrants.
We were going to do 10.
Okay.
So,
because
I think we have 5 sections and we were thinking 2 per section.
Okay.
And test 2 hydrants from each section, $6,700.
Yep.
And to engage with them. So I did do that. We're in communication and I just haven't had time to come in and pick which hydrants we're doing. They asked if I wanted to give them more info on which ones we want them to do. So I haven't been in the office to grab any info for them. Do you have any recommendations? I was just going to get 2 per section.
Yeah,
and
I think that sounds right. Like, I guess the only thing I would say is let's get the one that's like furthest out on the water line.
Okay.
You know, like the very last hydrant.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we should get one that's closer and see if there's a massive difference in water.
Okay. I'll do that. I was going to try to get in tomorrow to the office and just do a little research on that, and I can get them the info, and then I think they'll take it from there.
Okay.
What it sounds like.
Yep.
Okay.
Is there any notification we should do for people? Like, I don't know what flow analysis involves. Do they just put a little meter on the end of the hydrant, let her rip, and see what happens?
Yeah, that means
that could create a lot of water.
Right, that might scare some people after the blast.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I wonder if it's really any different than flushing the hydrants. So, I mean, people might be kind of used to clear water exercising. I mean, I don't know if we need to. I mean, we could send out something. We're testing flow hydrant rates. That there'll be an engineering firm in the area, but personally, I don't feel like it's a huge notification.
No, it's not an emergency.
Yeah. I'm indifferent on it, notifying people.
Could we use the hydrants to discourage e-moto use somehow? While we're there.
Like a sensor. Yes.
Just blows you off the bike.
The minute you go by, yeah.
We'll test you right when you go by.
Lot 205, accessory structure permit finalization.
Yeah. We haven't gotten to that yet. So, yeah. Again, that was something we're going to try to, I was going to try to work on a bit tomorrow. But I think, When we're talking about permit finalization for the accessory structure, it's you're just basically meaning like get the remaining data from whatever we need from, like, I think we have to check sewer pressure or something like that. From, like, we don't check it, but the county would give the homeowner that information and we write it down on the permit. Is that, that's what is some of the blank information on the permits currently. Is that kind of what we're thinking?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how we finalize a permit either, but like here, it was like we can fill in water meter size, which would be the same as whatever is going into the house. And then this is for the water connection. This is the sewer connection. Just this
mandatory
information
pressure
here.
But T-Time County was passed, though.
Yeah.
Yes, no. Yeah, we got an inspection.
Yeah, and I don't know if the city of the town of Jackson does a capacity fee. If they do, I'd be curious to see what it is and then just to know that they paid it, if that still is something they do. Yeah. Somehow, this seems like information that someone was knowledgeable about in the past that we need to collect. So. Anyway,
if I see the water guy tomorrow at work, I'll ask him.
Okay. And other than that, I think we just have a folder for this.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any communication yet with the design committee on
revising those regulations? Or just clarify?
Or just communication with us, maybe keep us in the loop if there's
more of these
line extensions or new lines.
That's still on my computer. But I took care of number two. So
great. It's always fun to cross something off.
Number four is the next item on our list.
Okay.
And that is still active.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And
then I think.
Yeah.
At least another one.
Yeah. And then Lisa, right? At the end of last week, I had sent information on those signboards.
Yes.
If you see that email, all of the information is in the email.
Okay.
But let me know if you want me to resend it, and we could get those signboards ordered.
Okay. Okay. So you mean all the information is that there to order?
Yeah.
So
like
get them ordered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And I think there was a recommendation to have two sets of letters and numbers per board.
Okay.
I'm just not sure where we're going to store all of this. So that's a.
How big are these things?
They're 24 by 36, and there are six of them. And then if we have two boxes each of letters, that's 12 boxes of letters. And I don't know how big that is, but I kind of thought about that after we. We need these. We do need them, but I don't know where we're going to store them. So
maybe we need a shed.
I know. That's what I'm thinking. Oh, maybe shed out in
shop.
We should ask Randy if he has room in his shop.
Well, that's what I was initially thinking, but I don't know.
Okay. Let's check with him.
What hill?
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll check. Okay. That's Randy. That's it.
Okay.
Where were they stored before?
We didn't have any.
These are brand new.
This is new equipment.
Lisa did find, we should probably put all this kind of stuff into like, it'd be great if we had like one sort of storage place because I came by a few weeks ago so we were looking for the traffic counters.
Oh.
And where did you find the tubes? Were they out in Randy's shed?
They were in the shop.
Okay.
Oh.
But then he was like, couldn't you find the key? And I was like, there was no key on top of the box. And he's like, oh, gosh, I don't know if somebody did the key. Maybe I put it somewhere. And I was like, don't worry about it. We got the tubes. But yeah, they were out high up.
Okay.
We started digging around.
Yeah. But then she found the actual counter. She was like, I just stumbled across these in the closet. Like, so,
today.
Yeah.
Literally. Because I was stuffing water bills. Like a mad person.
Yeah.
On my iPad.
And they're in a box that's labeled like, you know, it looks like printer paper.
Yeah.
So
oh,
it's not something.
And it was, but it was way on the bottom in the back.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
so
I meant, so I was like, this looks like something that might be something. So
right. Yeah, we should have like one spot.
I'm just envisioning, well, no, like I'm shaking my head because when I eventually retire, like whoever I'm gonna be on retainer for like a year at least because there's so much crap scattered all over the county. That lives over in town hall, basement behind the filing cabinet. Like, the golden shovels are down. No, those are in the county building. There.
Oh, I can't even imagine. I guess you can't retire.
Yeah, no.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, shoot. Yes.
What time is
it?
Oh.
Oh.
I will also just coordinate email too if you want. Why don't we do that? Because we'll have to.
Check Eileen too. You're right. Okay. to be determined.
Yeah. Can we print off another one with the back page of this thing?
Oh, yeah.
Just need the last two pages.
I wonder if you could explain, not now, maybe maybe now.
Oh, should we adjourn?
Sure. Yeah, let's adjourn.
Okay. So in favor, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Adjourned.
What time is it?
7:24.
I just want to understand Everbridge better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that, you know, maybe you can
have oh, some gosh.
Let me go.
I know. I don't, I mean, all I know is I signed up for it. And that's all I know. Like, I signed up and I got the notices. So I
did you get adjourned?
We did.
Yes.
Okay, because this is still recording.
Oh, okay.
Just FYI.
So, okay, since I,